Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I guess the first thing on my agenda is to allow the future of our church to be dismissed. So all you show kids, it's time for you to go to your class. And just think, those guys there are going to be leading someday. All men and women of God. And I hope that each one of you pours into their hearts all that God would have you give them. That's our future, guys. And what a beautiful future. As you can tell, Pastor Henry is not here. And he's in San Diego with a vacation. And what a great place to be. He sent a text this morning, and he's just encouraging all of us to, encouraging me to, that God would speak through me. And I tell you, that's what I want this morning. So one of the things that I want to talk about is that, to start off with, is that, one of my prayers has been, Lord, I don't want to be today as I was yesterday. I want to go further with you. I want you to take me to where you want me to be. And, sometimes he answers your prayer. For me to be standing here is not a place of comfort for me. And so, but that's what I asked. That's what I gave him permission to do. I said yes. And I want to be all that he wants me to be. And I'm being stretched. And guess what? Stretching sometimes hurts a little bit, but it's a good hurt. It's a good hurt. And I'm okay. I'm okay with what's going on in my days now. And so what I want to tell you is that it's okay to be stretched. And I think that's what he would want for all of us. And I hope that your heart is that also, is that today will be different than tomorrow, but tomorrow that you'll be closer to him and that you'll be in his will. My message is on something that is very dear to my heart, and it is on prayer. Prayer has been something that that has been a part of my life since I first said yes to the Lord taking over my life, and it's been something that just stirs me. I love praying for people. I love laying my hands on people, and whatever that may be, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever that is, that's just one of my, brings gladness to my heart. And I think that's kind of what my call was from the beginning, even when I was a child. And what I'm going to talk about today is prayer, but more specifically, I want to talk about healing prayer. And I'm going to share some scriptures that hopefully will bring encouragement for those of you that maybe don't, have never prayed for someone, or have never been quite comfortable maybe praying for people. And so I hope that these next few passages encourage you not only to pray for others, but also for yourself. And if you've never, ever prayed for someone on a one-on-one basis, let me tell you, what a rewarding time. And if this is the day that you are going to be stretched, don't say no. If somewhere along the line you hear a word that maybe you know God is saying to you specifically, allow that to happen. Let yourself be stretched. Go where he's leading you. Accept all that he has for you. And like I said, sometimes it's not as easy for us, but it sure is easy for him. And we ought to remember that it's not us that are doing anything anyway. It's all about him. And so the first scripture that I want to put up here is 1 John 4:4. And it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And if you take anything home with you today, if you forget everything else I say, take that home with you. There is nothing on this earth that is greater than our God. There is no oppression. There is no sickness. There's no infirmity. There is nothing in this world that is bigger than our God. I forgot to tell you, I cry. So, I'm going to try not to. But when I think of his greatness, and I think of all that he's done for me, for all my grandchildren, it's hard for me to just comprehend the awesomeness of who he is. But as I said, if you forget everything else I say from here on, take that home with you. This was supposed to happen later. As I said, oppression, sickness, that was never a part of God's original creation. When he created this world, there was none in this earth. It wasn't his intentions that we be sick. It wasn't his intentions that we be oppressed by the enemy. And so it says that the word says that Jesus went to prepare a place for us, a place where there is no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more pain. And the thing with that is that in God's kingdom, there is no sickness, and we're on a journey to that place. And someday we're all going to get there, but as you look around, you don't see too many 150-year-old people. We're all going there. And but Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we walk on this journey, just to know that that place that we're going, that kingdom that is so perfect and so wonderful for us, that we will no longer have the issues that we are facing here today, that kingdom, through our prayers, can be brought down into this place. Jesus, that was, you know, sometimes we look at that prayer and it seems like something that you would teach your show kids. Seems like such a easy prayer to learn, such a, you know, I learned that when I was very small. But there's so much power in that prayer. There is so much power in that when he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. He's not saying, you know, please send your kingdom. He's saying it's available. All we have to do is ask him for his kingdom to be on this earth, and it will be. And God's will, as it says in that prayer, is to heal. He is willing. He is willing to heal. Your will be done. Well, why would not his will be to heal? It would be awfully hard to think of my Jesus to tell me, I don't think so. You know, when I ask him for healing, he wants to do that, as we'll see in some of the scriptures that that I've picked out. Now, also on this journey, just as I mentioned some of the diseases and so forth, there, we look at those things like giants. So as we walk on this journey, we are going to face some giants. And these giants look awfully hard for us, awfully big for us, awfully too hard for us to handle. But when we call out to our God, then he lets us see these giants as they truly are. Small, fearful of God's children, and really no meaning to them. They're just nothing. But yet the enemy makes us look at all these different things that face us, all the cancers and the diabetes and whatever it is, and they seem like such a big giant in our faces, and we seem to just shrivel. And he's saying, don't shrivel. They're nothing to me. What did it say up there? I'm greater than all this. I am greater than that. And the enemy can convince us that we've just been beaten. Maybe we have, but our God hasn't. And when Jesus went to be with the Father, he left us his Holy Spirit. And he left us his Word. His Word says that we could do greater things than he. And when you think of that, that's pretty hard to believe, that I could do greater things than Jesus. And that seems to be the issue, is that do we believe God? And when you think about it, my answer would be, yes, I believe God. But what about when that new giant comes across my face? Now I seem to disregard all the old giants that God has, old giants of the past that God has slain for me and for my family. It's a new giant. It's a new dilemma that we're facing. And we seem to let that once again overwhelm us. So, I chose only a few scriptures that will show a good model of Jesus' healing ministry. These giants that we've been facing, surprisingly, you would think that we would do greater things than Jesus. And as I looked at some of the verses that I was to share today, I saw where even Jesus faced obstacles in his ministry. And I thought, well, if he faced those obstacles, then I guess it's okay when I go out there that I can face them. But I know that, you know, they never took Jesus down. He was there, and he was the conqueror of whatever he was facing. But he did face obstacles, and one of the obstacles, and probably the worst obstacles that he faced, was unbelief. And as I looked at all this, Jesus did so many miracles while he walked on earth, but the majority was healing. Everywhere he went, the word says that he healed. He healed people. That was what he didn't. His heart was not to see people hurt, and whether it was emotional or whether it was physical, whenever they were demon-possessed or whatever that may be, his heart was full of compassion for those that were hurting. And so most of his ministry dealt with healing. And so as he went on to heal, though, like I say again, the greatest was unbelief. So I'm going to read out of Mark 9, 17 to 23. And I'm sure as I speak, you're going to remember other passages that you guys have read and that pertain a lot in the similarities, but this is what God gave me, and so this is what I have for you today. And it says, then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whomever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, as we look at some of those verses with verse 19, right away, if you'll put that back up, Sean, verse 19, and he's going with, you faithless generation. Right off the bat, that's the first thing that he sees in the ministry, is that people are not believing in who he is. People are not believing in what he can do. And so, as other places, other scriptures show, I mean, they talk about him being in his hometown, and they're going, oh, that's just the son of the carpenter. He was just another guy to a lot of people. And just as we are here, you know, this is John, that old guy that used to hang out at Amato, you know, whatever that may be. It's hard to believe that we can be that representative of our Lord Jesus. And in this case here, Jesus is facing that unbelief. And all he has said is, believe. Just believe me. And I notice also a little frustration from Jesus is, how long must I be with you? You know, it's kind of like, I've been here, I've showed you, I've taught you, and it seems to me like he's, you know, he says, by now you should have got it, you know. And he's facing things that we face today. You know, we sometimes get frustrated with people when we're praying for them, or when we want to pray for someone, because we're saying, you're not getting it, you know. He's there. It's that simple. You know, this isn't something that we have to go to our, you know, conferences and classes and whatever it is that it takes for you to understand what I do. Just believe that I can. And that's all he needs to do. Let's look at verse 21. In verse 21, it says, so he asked how long this has been happening. That to me shows Jesus, he's looking at insight into people's lives. He is getting personally involved with the people that he's praying for. He's wanting to see, you know, when did it start? He can see what situations have come about the person he's going to pray for. So he has a good idea as to how to pray for him. Not that Jesus needed it, but... I think a lot of these scriptures, as he prays, a lot of it would just put on this book so that we would know what to do. There, every situation in the world is covered here. And so when he does these things, it's just being an example to how we should deal with people. Then let's go to verse 23. This is one of the parts that I really care for here. It says... says Jesus said to him, if you can believe, I'm sorry, the guy tells him, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And prior to that, they asked him, if you can do anything. And Jesus' response is, if you can believe. They're saying, if you can do anything. But Jesus is saying, if you can believe, then I can do all things. But it's when you don't believe in him that it's hard for him to do his ministry. And it also talks about in other scriptures where it says he couldn't heal and he just wiped his feet and went. Okay? So sometimes he's there and we're not taking advantage of his presence. We're not taking advantage of saying, Lord, I believe. Even though that giant, as I said, seems so big and you're thinking, well, he may do that for somebody else, but not for me. And that is not the case. He is willing, always willing. Okay, let's go to Matthew 8, and I'm going to read 1 through 3. Okay, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So in that, I thought that that was the perfect model when people are asking for healing. Whenever someone is asking us for personal healing, this was the perfect model. The first thing that this leper did, it says that he got down on his knees and worshiped him. And that should be our first place to go. Something starts hurting, something starts to bother us, that should be our first place to go. Just come before him, kneel before him, worship him, bring him into your midst, and let him know how, the trust that you have and the confidence that you have that he can do all things for whatever that is that you're facing. And then it says that Jesus says that he wants to heal. He's always wanting to heal. There is nothing, as I said earlier, that would say for Jesus to tell us, I don't think so. He is always there and he always wants to heal us. He's never going to say no to you. All we do is ask and he will be there. And then as you're being prayed for, as you're being healed, expect for a touch from Jesus. He says that he touched him. Expect for that touch to be upon you. Somehow he will touch you. And that touch brings that healing. That touch brings the comfort. Whatever it may be, expect to be touched by him. And then notice something else right here. Jesus was a man of just short prayers. And all he said was, be cleansed. And sometimes we, because of our words, we get a little bogged down. We think, my gosh, you know, I don't know how to pray or what, you know, what do I say? And as you notice here that, you know, there wasn't no long-winded prayers. He just spoke with authority. He spoke with a knowledge of knowing that when he spoke, these things didn't, they submitted to him. And that's where we should be. We should know that when we speak to whatever disease that we're speaking to, they are under our power because we are under his power. And to know that we don't have to know of these all elaborate, long prayers. Just all Jesus did most of the time was be cleansed, get up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. But he did it with the authority that he knew he had from his Father. And if we could ever get that to that place and understand that we have that same authority, those giants wouldn't look so big to us anymore. Okay. The other part is that when it says that Jesus touched him, to remember that each one of you sitting in this room today, you are the hands of Jesus. And just as Jesus touched that leper, when you walk out there and you put your hand on somebody, even if you say no words, just place your hand on somebody's shoulder to know that's not you. That's him touching that person through you. And just to know that it's, you know, you don't have to be concerned or worried about what to say or what to do next. It's all there. Okay, let's go to Mark 8, 22 through 25. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, I felt this passage was important because sometimes when we pray for someone, we don't see immediate healing. Okay? And I'll tell you what, to see my Jesus do it twice kind of encouraged me, you know? And again, I think a lot of times when these stories or the scriptures are in our book, it's to encourage us, because I think he could have done it the first time. How many other miracles did he do that, you know, it was just the first time? But here, it took twice for him to pray. And that just kind of tells me that it's okay if I pray for someone. And I know that every time I pray for someone, I expect to see that person be healed. And I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I don't want to wait to see how things happen. I want that right now. And that's the attitude we should have every time we pray for someone. It's going to happen right now. That's where we should be. It's going to happen. When I lay my hands on this person, he will be healed. If we can go into that prayer session with that much confidence and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing to think what could happen, and not to take away that unbelief. Because if we're stepping into it with unbelief, the person that's being prayed for may not have the greatest chance that he could have. And so praying for someone and not seeing does bring discouragement. It does. You know, you see people and you say, well, Lord, what are you doing? Why is it that, you know, whomever it is that you're praying for just isn't even getting healed? And, you know, sometimes it gets to a point that you get to where you feel, well, maybe God doesn't want it. Well, we should never go there. We should never go to that place to think that our God doesn't want to heal someone. And you guys have probably heard this story from someone else, but I always get a encouragement out of the story that, you know, there was this person walking along the beach, and there was another person kind of up on the hill just watching this man walk along the beach. And all along the beach there was starfish that had washed up from the ocean onto the to the beachside. And this guy went around and he would pick one up and throw it back in there, and he kept walking and he picked up another one and throwing back in there. And finally that guy that was looking at him comes down and he asked him, he says, what are you doing? He goes, you know, and he says, I'm just getting some of these starfish to give him another chance. I'm throwing them back into the ocean so that they could live. And the guy tells him, but look at what you're seeing here. There's so many of these. He says, it seems kind of useless to see what you're doing. And he says, the guy told him, yeah, he says, it probably is. He says, and I'll never get to all of these, but it made a difference to those and to this one, he goes. And so whomever God places in your path, we can't touch everybody in the world, but there's people that we can touch, and there's people that we can continue to pray. That's where the Lord placed us. He's going to give us people to pray for. He's going to bring people into our path, into our midst, that need just you. Not me, you, or you. He's going to bring these people that he says, it's for you to minister to that specific person, and I'm going to heal him because you are going to represent me. You are my hands. You are my my mouth. And so when these times come upon you, like I say, make sure that you're available. God doesn't need ability. He needs availability. Make yourself available to him whenever he calls on you. Okay. Luke 8:43-48. Is now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Okay. Verse 43 says that she had spent all her livelihood on physicians. That sounds pretty normal to us now. How often are we at the doctor's office? You know? And I'll be real honest with you. I think God placed doctors. I think God placed medicine. Those are all, I think, ordained by God. You know, he wants to take care of us. And as I said, we're on this journey. But we're not there yet. And so as we travel, he's going to give us all we need so that we can be at a place where we're not going through pain and sickness. And so the thing with the doctors and the medicine, like I said, all that is good. But when something comes to us, what's the first thing we do? Do we right away say, "Well, I better make an appointment with a doctor," or do we say, "Lord Jesus, you're my physician"? First thing should be coming to him and seeing what he has for you in that area. I'll tell you what, I know people, and I've been there, where somebody mentions that, you know, "I've kind of been feeling this and that, and my doctor said that he diagnosed me with this." Pretty soon you're going, I've kind of been feeling the same thing too. So maybe that's what I got too. It's like they say the power of suggestion. Sometimes we speak these things into our own bodies. And I'll tell you what. We are not people that would receive curses. The word says that when Jesus died on the cross, he became the curse. And so curses are not ours. But when we speak negative things to our own selves, we're kind of cursing ourselves. And a curse won't rest unless we say it's okay. You know, we keep telling ourselves, "Yep, that's what I got. Oh, maybe not that. How about this?" Before you know it, we're a walking package of disease, you know. And we never should have been there. And so when those things start coming at us, like I say, doctors are great, medicine is great, but don't go there first. Don't go there first. Go to him first. And doctors, put a note here. Doctors give a diagnosis. They give diagnoses because of the facts. This is what the tests show. This is what I found. This is what my education says. But guess what? Our God gives you the truth. And the truth is that we don't have to put up with that. And if a doctor ever tells you this is what you got, you come back and look at this and say, my God doesn't say that. My God says that disease is not a part of who I am. And so this is where we need to go. And like I said, I would not say that anybody here, including myself, has not been at that place where you let those diagnoses and facts overtake the faith that we have and the trust that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't go to the doctor first. Go to the great physician first. Okay, once again, verse 46, verse 46 says that somebody, Jesus felt power coming out of him. Somebody touched him. And how wonderful it is to think that somebody touching his garment would already feel that power. Didn't have to lay his hands on him. He didn't have to go do anything that we're so used to doing. But Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus spent a lot of time talking to his dad, talking to his father. And all that time that he spent, he needed, because people drew from him. Wherever he walked, just as this, people are grabbing it and people are wanting a part of who he is. And he couldn't give nothing if he didn't take in something. Inputs and outputs. You got no outputs if you got no inputs. And so as you do this, Jesus was saturated with the power that he received from above. Every part of him was just overwhelming. There was just an aura about him that even his presence was enough to heal people. It even mentions later on with Peter, where his shadow even. These are men that just devoted themselves to where they should have been. They placed themselves, their whole being, into being close to God, receiving all that God has for you. Oh, that I could just walk somewhere and somebody touch me and receive healing. But guess what? Greater things than he, I can do. Do I believe him? Do you believe him? I hope we get there. And then verse 48. It says that faith, it tells her that your faith made you well. Now, that's a big word. Little word, big word. But one thing that sometimes, and even as I speak today, we're going to say, well, you know, all this had to do with unbelief and how much faith, you know, your faith made you well, on and on. But what you have to remember is that faith should not be compared. You cannot compare your faith to my faith or to anyone else's. The Lord tells us, or the Word tells us, that if you have mustard seed faith, that's all you need. And faith is a gift. So we only have it because by the grace of God, he gave it to us. And so when we try to say, well, I see Pastor Henry, and he's a man of God, and I know he's a man of faith, and we think, well, who am I? You know what I mean? I'm just kind of here. You know, the Lord will bless that mustard seed faith that you have. And every time you use that mustard seed faith, that's how that grows. When you see God doing something in the smallest things, your faith grows. You have more trust. You say, wow, he did that. He can do this. And that's where we need to go. We need to go to a place that says there is nothing in this world that is greater than my God. And he's going to supply all that I need. If all I have is that little tiny bit of faith, he will supply that, and he will do what he said he would. One thing I want to share, and both my girls are here, as I mentioned, it has to do with faith and even the using elaborate words. I think what we're at is to come with childlike faith. That's all we need. Mustard seed, childlike faith. So I'm going to share a story that concerns my daughters that are both sitting here. When I was 15 years old, I had a car accident, and I wound up hurting my back. So from the time I was 15 until I joined this church, I was in my early 30s, and that particular church was very much into praying for people and extending ourselves to others in the prayer ministries. And again, that's where it started with me, where I really thought, yeah, this is what God wants for me. So anyway, we were newbies at this thing, and we were barely learning how it went, but we had an idea of what to do. And every day, from the time I married to that time, like I said, I was miserable going to work, you know, or I couldn't do too much because my back would hurt. I'm sure some of you kind of go through that too. But anyway, one day I came home from work, and kind of one of these things, you know. You okay? My wife says, no, I'm not okay. So she says, okay, that's it. Lay down on the floor, she tells me. So I lay down on my belly there. Didn't have as much then, but so I wasn't up too much there. But I lay down on my belly, and she told my daughters, which at that time I think were maybe like 9 and 11, something like that. She told them, come on, girls, let's pray for your dad. And I laid down, and my wife didn't really pray, but my girls did. They put their hands on my back, and all I could hear them saying, Lord, heal my daddy. You know, don't let my daddy hurt. You know, just simple little things like that. And first time that ever happened, my back started quivering. I could feel some muscle spasms or whatever you want to call it. They were quivering. And this praying stuff maybe works, you know. And so that's, you know, it started happening. They prayed, but it wasn't, like I said, many words. Just, you know, heal my daddy. And so that was over within a few minutes, and I felt pretty good. But next day I got up, and here I go again, a little bit of a pain, but not as bad. Went back to work, and I came home. It wasn't as bad, but I was still hurting. This time it was me. I said, hey, that worked yesterday. Come on, girls, pray for me again. And so we did it again. Same old type of prayer, which didn't seem like this, but they had childlike prayers. They laid their hands. It started quivering again. My back started quivering again as soon as they started praying. Amen. When I got up from that prayer session, sounding like I need some. Anyway, I got up from that prayer session. I didn't hurt anymore. I believed because of the previous one that God had done something. And then I could see that he was doing it again. There went my little mustard seed faith into, wow, he does do stuff. You know, and I got up from that session. I was 34 years old at that time. Praise God. I'm 69, not afraid to say it. I have not had a back pain since then. Amen. Amen. And so the point is that we don't have to know all this stuff. It was their heart. It was their childlike faith, and they didn't want to see daddy hurting no more. And that's all we need. When you look at your brother and your sister, you don't want to see them hurting. Go lay your hands on them. Go pray for them. Even intercession. Whenever you've talked to somebody, take that prayer home with you and say, Lord, bless them where they are. Lift that from them. We don't want to see you guys hurting. We want you to go on this journey and be as healthy as the Lord would have you be, and that would be, period, with nothing. Amen. Okay. Guess I'm doing okay here. Okay. The next one I want to put on there is Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. And it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Everything that we could possibly need, he left us. And as I said, we're on this journey, but he didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. He left us his word. He's left us his Holy Spirit, that his Holy Spirit would shine light on the words that he gave us. But everything that's here, I would almost guarantee you, I guarantee you, that whatever it is that you're facing or will face, there's an answer here. And if he said it, it is. There's no question to what he says. And so while we're on this journey, he is going to give us all we need. We're going to be protected in the shelter of his wings. And just recognize and know that that's our place, right under his wings of protection. And so as his spirit leads you, adhere to all that he is telling us. And like it says, it said up there, is that his words, everything that he says, speak them out. Know that that is his will and his heart for you. Okay, the next thing I have is our doctors. We go back to the doctors again. Our doctors, and you see it on television or whatever, it tells you, gives you things to do so that we can stay healthy, so we can live a long life. And they tell you exercise. They tell you watch your diet. Get enough sleep. Just walk. Whatever those things may be, they're good things. You know, there are good things for our body. You know, we need to take care of ourselves. God not only gave us his word and the knowledge of the healing that we have available in our hands, but he also gave us a brain. And he also blessed us with the wisdom to know that there are things that we can do to help our own selves. Okay? And so it's okay that we do these things. It really is great that we do these things. But I'm going to read you a few scriptures that we can do for ourselves. And I put as part of it, for some of you guys that work in the industry, mining or whatever it may be, you probably heard the term preventative maintenance. Okay? And these are just things, just as I mentioned earlier, that we do before something comes at us, okay? And again, it's the wisdom that he places upon us so that we can take care of ourselves. But not only in the exercise area or whatever I mentioned, but also in the spiritual side of things. There's some things that I'm going to read here, and they're going to be short passages, but they're just some things that we can take care of and do for ourselves. So first one is, and these are words that you can speak to yourself, pray for others, but mostly this is for yourself. And so first let's go to Jeremiah 32:27. And it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That kind of says it all right there. There is nothing in the world that you could throw at him that he's going to say, well, let me go read that book I was reading and see what it says about that. There is nothing in the world that you could throw at him that he can't handle. And as I said earlier, whatever giants are in your face, they're like little cockroaches to him. You know, they're nothing to him. And so you ask yourself, you know, sometimes we say, well, I've got a headache, so the Lord, you know, you can believe him for that, that he'll heal that headache. But you say, maybe he can't heal cancer. Nothing too big. He can heal all things. And so don't ever bring him to a place that that you don't trust him enough. The next one is Psalm 107, 17 through 20. And it says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When I read that, the picture that I've got was somebody maybe with an addiction. I got a picture of somebody, let's say, that's in really into meth, for example. And you see that beautiful creation that God had when he was a little baby. And they get into this thing because they went the wrong way. They made bad decisions. They made mistakes. And now you see them to a place that they're kind of out of their control, in a sense, to get better because they've gotten into this. And it says that they were in the gates of hell. Their bodies were, you know, they were almost ready to die. And so we get to places where our mistakes take us to a place that we never should have been. And yet it says that that they cried out. And they cried out, Lord, help. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know any other prayers, that's the best prayer you can ever have. Just say, Lord, help. And he'll come. And he'll be there for you. Whatever it is that you're going through, he'll be there for you. And that's my point with this one, is that no matter if you strayed away from God and you're not walking in his path, he didn't let you go. He's there waiting for you to say, Lord, help. Because maybe you don't feel like praying. When you're sick like that, sometimes it takes away the desire to want to pray. It takes away that wanting to just be around people, period. And so if that's all you got, just yell out and say, Lord, help. And he will. Okay, Proverbs 17 through 20, or 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You know that when we have a bad attitude, we allow ourselves maybe to get stressed out. You know that all those things are bad for our health. All those things that we allow, just a simple thing, as they say, laughter is good for the heart. That, how true that is. You know, don't allow for the enemy to bring you down and to bring sadness or to bring discouragement or whatever. That's not where we should be. We need to have a merry heart. Why? Because we're in God's hands. We should be happy that he's taking care of us. We should be merry, as it says, that there's nothing in this world that's going to take us down. Why shouldn't we be that way? He's over us. He takes care of us. And so stress and all these things, it's something that we can say, Lord, help. Take us away. I don't want that in my life. That's your choice. And if you don't have the strength to do it, then just say help. He'll give you that strength. He'll supply all you need. Okay, next one is 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You know, it's so easy for us to accept the gift of salvation. You know, he died on the cross for our sins. But it also says that while he was on the cross, he also took our sickness. Why can we not accept that as easily as that he took our sin? Doesn't say that one was greater than the other. He died for both reasons. He took our sicknesses. He took our infirmities. And every time that we say, no, I cannot be healed for this, that stripe that he took for us, it's kind of like you're saying, it didn't matter. I don't trust you enough that you can heal me for that. He took the whippings, he took the beatings, and his body was broken. So that we wouldn't have to receive that. Don't make it any less than our sins to be taken by him. He took our sickness too. First Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. And I had to share that one just because the way that a lion seeks out his victims is that he doesn't look for the strong ones. He doesn't look for those that are in the flock. He looks for those that are weak. He looks for those that kind of get separated, maybe can't keep up with the flock. So sometimes we get to that point. We get to the point that in we get sick or we have something that's afflicting us, and we tend to draw away from those that could pray for us, from those that would encourage us. And we should be drawn to God. We should be drawn to our shepherd. We should be drawn to the other sheep that are in our flock, those that will take care of us, those that can encourage us. And so all I can tell you is that when those times come, press through. Don't draw away. Let yourself be part of what's where they are, and don't let that lion just come and take you down. Because he can't take you down if your shepherd's there and the rest of your flock is there to be with you. He's not going to go after you. So don't get away. Come close to God. And we don't need to go there. I didn't put it down. But the last one I want you, if you're taking notes, is Psalm 91. There is no way that we need to read all of it, but my gosh, pretty much everything in that psalm is all about him loving you, taking care of you, protecting you, and just keeping you under his shelter. So when you have some time and you go home, open up your Bible to Psalm 91. Just see how much he loves you. See how much he's there for you, and that nothing can come against you. No enemy could ever take you down because he loves you so much. And finally, I think you're waiting for the finally. Pray for yourself. Speak blessings to your body. Bless what you eat. Bless the food you eat. Begin your day with a thankful heart. Say, Lord, thank you that I am able to serve you one more time, Lord. Thank him for all that he is to you. Thank him for the health. And even if you're not feeling it at that moment, you say, thank you, Lord, that even though I don't see it, I will see it. Have that faith. Feed on his word daily. Ask that he would open your spiritual ears and eyes, and trust that if he is for you, who can be against you? And pray for the leading of his Holy Spirit in all things.